What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The special guest. Do you know, for this episode, I feel like we have a little asterisk on the host, on the one true host. Like, likely, it is still you. It's always been you. But full disclosure, we're recording this episode hot on the heels of the last episode.
We are.
Where you will recall that Jazzy J team was growing. So it's possible, had we waited the full week to record the next episode, who's to say what could have happened?
Well,
we don't know.
Well,
we don't. I mean, to me, it feels like pretty limbo who the real host is this episode.
TBH. I felt like I had a particularly solid host week last week.
Well, yeah, did you know? I mean, you forgot the corny joke, but
well, it's part of your job to prompt me with it.
Do you have one for us this week?
Hey, you know what? As a matter of fact, I do. As a matter of fact, Jay.
Yeah.
I just clicked it and it went away.
Oh no!
What do you call a bear without any teeth?
I don't know. What do you call a bear without any teeth?
A gummy bear.
Oh, that's so obvious.
Oh,
I should have.
Oh,
I should have. My twins have such gummy smiles.
Oh, that's so adorable.
They also have no teeth.
Oh.
And they give you the biggest gum smiles, and it is so heartwarming.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
I can just picture it.
Yes. Man, it's making me want some gummies, though.
I know. I was all prepared to use the same joke in last week's episode, which we recorded like 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I really wish I just had a big old bucket of gummies. Actually, lately, I've been taking a gummy multivitamin every day.
Oh, I do a gummy elderberry thing.
What is a gum? Is it essence of elderberry? Am I under-eating elderberries?
I don't know. When the COVID started, when the inside time started,
right?
You know, we stockpiled a bunch of like, gotta be extra healthy now stuff. And so one of the things that we got a bunch of were these elderberry vitamins, which according to all of my wife's mommy blog things are like top drawer.
Real good. It's always interesting. Multivitamins are completely one of those things where I literally have no idea whether or not they're just a hoax.
Oh,
like,
gosh, I know.
I truly don't know. Like, I feel like there are people out there who are like, yeah, basically it's like way too concentrated and your body just filters out almost all of it and you get next to nothing, maybe some vitamin C. And it's like, oh, all right, well, but people do it, you know, like.
To me, it seems like it can't possibly hurt. Or that's the thing, like, that's in my mind, I'm like, there's no way this is hurting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not really helping, but it can't be hurting. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, could it be hurting?
Am I taxing my...
I don't think so.
Liver/kidneys too heavily?
The way I understand the body and vitamins to work is that you've just got a bunch of empty buckets, and when you eat vitamins, they fill up those buckets, and when the buckets are full, they're just like, go ahead and just get peed out.
Sure.
And there's like a foreman, and he's like, oh, what is this? Calcium? God, he is like pounding the calcium. Just move it. Shut it down.
We need no more
calcium.
We have plenty of calcium.
Has anyone seen the vitamin D? Did I miss anything? No. God, that kid needs to get outside.
Tell him to go outside.
Can we send a message to brain? No.
We can't.
It's okay.
Why doesn't it work that way? I mean, we're not physicists.
We're physicians. That's the joke from last week.
That, like, I had to pause because I figured just ones of people out there completely just lost their minds that callback. Why? And maybe it is not the case that, like, when you need something specific, it, like, there's not, like, a natural impulse to just go and get that thing.
Well, I think probably there is.
There is.
I think so. So one of the other things real, real hot on the mommy blogs that I get to hear all about.
Yeah.
Is, oh no, what's this style of eating? It's basically where you like listen to your body and eat according to when it tells you you're hungry and like stop eating when it's done. Oh my gosh, it's going to drive me crazy that I can't think of the answer to this. I feel like I'm going to have to text Beth.
It's a thing. Okay, well, text Beth. Okay. No, but that's the thing though. I think that's what's interesting is that like in nature, I feel like if we were just out existing with the elements and stuff, you know, there would be so much more instinct involve? Like, so much less of the way that you were consuming things would be based on like what you crave or what has been marketed to you or like your favorite kind of snacks.
Yeah.
And so much more of it would just be like, I definitely need pine needles today. Is that a thing, do you think?
I doubt it's pine needles.
Maybe not pine needles.
But certainly, like, I feel like whenever you watch people who have put themselves in survival situations, it'll be like, oh, I really need, you know, the protein, or I really need
Experience? Like, is that knowledge or is that instincts?
Well, I think both. I think enough experience will let you know what that feeling is.
Sure. You know? Sure. But like, we are really the only creatures that have crafted, you know, diets and such.
Sure. Yes. Okay. My wife very quickly texted me back, and the style of eating, sounds like a weird turn of phrase, is intuitive eating, which is basically where you're just sort of like listening to your body's cravings. And if it's like, I want something like sweet, then you eat something sweet. If it's like, I want something savory, I want that. And when you're full, you stop eating. And it's just trying to like, it's basically like trying to reset your body's natural urges. Oh, look, she sent me a list of 10 principles of intuitive eating. It's like she's producing the show on the fly.
On the flizzle.
So I'll just read off the headlines. It's like, reject the diet mentality, honor your hunger, make peace with food. So stuff like that. So like making peace with your food, I think it would be like having a better relationship with food, like not feeling guilty for having that cupcake or something.
Sure, sure. No, and this actually is kind of interesting, I think. I am, as a eater, for one, very, very slow.
Yeah.
Like, it takes me forever to eat. And I think this was something
many times.
Many times. I think this was something like, it would maybe even me, it was like the time that I really got some quality discussion in with mom.
Yeah.
Because like you and Tyler would like have left the table and have gone to like, you know, do whatever, and mom was sort of like packing up the kitchen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be sitting there eating my tacos still. And during that period of time, you know, it was like just me and mom chatting it up.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I think with that, really what's interesting about it is that I think I eat so slow that like my hunger's digest, like what is the attention span almost?
Yeah.
My hunger's attention span like kind of gives up. It's like, all right, he's not eating anymore. It's fine. We're good.
Well, this is,
tell him we're good up there.
This is like a common thing I think people recommend, is to try and eat slower because you only have like a certain window of time where you're hungry.
Right.
And if you just like slow it down, you will get the same feeling of fullness even if you have eaten less.
Sure,
but
okay, yeah.
If you're like scarfing it down, maybe if that window is like 20 minutes, you know, if you eat two tacos, then that might be it. That's probably enough,
huh?
You know, and you're like, okay. And if it took you 20 minutes to eat them, then one, I feel like you're eating tacos wrong, but you're gonna like finish that second taco and be like, I guess I'm good.
Yeah.
But if you're like me, you're like, two tacos, got another 19 minutes to kill. I'm starving.
Let's keep going. So, okay, so here's the other thing, and I wish there was a really good way to measure this, and maybe there is. Maybe someone of the internet will tell me. But I feel like the volume inside of my mouth, which is to say the amount of space
that actually exists.
Not the sound, not how loud I am communicating, but the literal volume of space that is the cavity, you know, that I consume food through.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't take in a lot of food at one, like with a single bite. So I think that's the other thing, is I'm taking like small bites.
You're a small mouther.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Exactly. And I think with this, I actually notice it the most with sushi, because interestingly, I feel like my favorite sushi restaurant in Roanoke doesn't seem like it is anyone else's favorite sushi restaurant, but the thing about it is they have like smaller rolls.
Right.
Like they are like physically small.
Yeah.
So I can like throw one back, no probs.
Right.
And it is the only place that I can go where I can actually out eat people.
Oh, interesting.
But like on the flip side, if I were to go, so I could eat like four sushi rolls or something. People at home are like, ha, as if that's a lot of sushi.
Four sushi rolls, that's like 40 pieces of sushi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can do that sometimes. But on the flip side, if I go to somewhere else where it's like a large piece of sushi, like it's like where putting the roll into your mouth would take up the entire volume of space.
Yeah.
Man, it's like I gotta really work it through. Mm-hmm. It takes me forever. And usually I'll like finish my one roll and I'm like, man, I'm good. I might not even finish the single roll.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, maybe you're talking about eating a similar amount of food because one of them is literally smaller. Mm. But I don't know. I feel like I can throw so much more back when it's broken into small pieces.
Interesting. Okay. So obviously you haven't started One Cup Life yet, since it's only been 2 hours since last we spoke. But perhaps also something you could try is, once you light all your old cups on fire and, you know, burn them forever, never look back. You and Fred for life.
It's just me and Fred.
Maybe what you throw in there is all of your regular forks and knives, silverware, and you just convert to chopstick life. The way chopsticks are able to, like, if your primary utensil is the chopstick,
yeah,
everything you eat must be small bites. Like, the way all the food is dictated by the way in which you can't have, you couldn't approach a big steak with chopsticks, you know?
Sure.
Either you'd have to pre-slice it into already chopstick-sized bites.
You couldn't have a big fork and steak.
Right.
See what I did there?
I saw what you did there.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, this might help. Maybe if you're trying to eat more, maybe you need to get better with the sticks.
Maybe. Or maybe I'm someone who needs to pre-cut all of my food into tiny bite-sized pieces, mm-hmm. and then neatly arrange them on a very large tray in a very decorative manner, just like the sushi.
Yeah.
Because that's probably helping too.
Let me tell you something in the vein of nice-looking food.
Yeah.
Is that Beth and I recently got new plates at our house.
No, you did not.
We did.
What a life development.
You know, you wouldn't think so.
You truly.
Dude, no. Yeah, like your plates, you use them every day.
Right.
Right? So I don't even know if plates is the right word, honestly. Beth would call them bowls. Basically what it is a bowl that is plate sized and flat all the way across the bottom with just hot, like a 1-inch rim.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Oh, man.
Does everything roll into the center? Could you put corn on the cob?
No, it's flat. It doesn't roll. There's no rolling towards the center.
Oh.
It's just flat across the bottom.
I see.
Yeah. So everything can rest neatly. And I have to tell you, I'm not sure what the difference maker is, but it is like a much nicer eating experience in like the 4 days that we've had them. Like, you couldn't eat cereal out of this kind of bowl. You just held it because it'd be hard to scoop.
That does seem frustrating.
You know, you need the walls of a regular bowl to force the cereal onto your spoon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But, I think I'm imagining it. Are they white?
They are white.
Okay.
Yeah, so they match the rest of our silver, our dishware.
Dishware.
So the other exciting part of getting new plates for me is that we get to get rid of other things.
Oh, the
best. So it was like, okay, we're going to bring like this many new plates in. Well, there's only so much cabinet space, so something got to go.
So you burned the rest of them.
That's right, Ben. Big fire. Yeah, I haven't burned them yet. I was like, I'll just wait for Ben for his like cup fire or whatever.
The cup fire.
Whole fire.
Because you know how well glass and ceramic burn.
Exactly, Ben. You had to get it real hot.
Really, really hot.
Like screaming hot. Most, there are stoves, I think, made out of ceramic, yes?
Yes.
Hot enough to burn down the stove.
Right, exactly.
Yep. That's how hot.
That's what we're after.
Exactly.
Oh,
think,
man,
of the sculpture of burnt plastic cups you'd have at the end.
Man, so for the
terrifying.
For the people who have no idea what we're talking about, because I don't know if we defined one cup life. Look. Properly.
I mean, if this is, yeah, you're right. This could be someone's first pop.
It could be. It could be. Welcome, by the way.
Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome, freshly popped little colonel.
What do you think their name is? Jill. Nailed it.
Jill?
Jill.
Welcome, Jill.
What up, Jill? Man, if somebody new starts listening and this is your first episode and it's Jill, you better let us know.
Oh, man.
Oh,
please let us know.
I love it when it happens. And if you have a friend named Jill who doesn't currently listen to us, send them this.
Yeah, and you're like, and you think they're like asking about podcasts?
Yes.
Or even if they're not. In fact, especially if they're not. Just be like,
should listen. Friend Jill. Okay, that's the thing. You should say, and Jordan, when you're titling the episode, don't include Jill anywhere in it.
Yeah.
If you have a friend named Jill who doesn't already listen to this, but you need to be like, listen, friend Jill, you need to listen to this podcast.
Right.
And they're going to be like, why? I'm like, just trust me. Like, there's something about it that I think you're just going to like love. And Jill, thank you for listening, by the way.
Whoa.
You've reached the point.
This
is why your friend told you to listen.
It's for you.
And for you, Jill, I'm going to re-explain what One Cup Life is very briefly. Basically, the whole idea, one cup for a whole year.
One cup for a whole year. For all your drinking needs.
For all of your drinking needs. So it's like everywhere you go, whenever you're encountering a cup-related situation, you're always using your cup. Doesn't mean you can't drink out of like cans or bottles, you know, if the situation permits. But like, at, you know, after a nice dinner where you've had your tall glass of orange juice or milk.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we had as kids. It was always a tall glass of milk with dinner. Is that a typical dinner beverage?
I think for, yes, I don't see why not.
Were you going to say for an eight-year-old?
I was going to say for kids, but I'm like, I don't see why adults wouldn't drink it. It's a weird situation. It's so hard for us to know, really, I think, because when we were growing up, like, our mom would give us the kids milk.
But she didn't like
milk. She doesn't like milk, so yeah. She wouldn't drink it. I'm in the same exact situation now because Beth doesn't drink just straight milk. She doesn't like it.
Man!
So, I still don't know. Huh. Would it be weird for adults to drink milk at dinner?
No, surely not. I don't think,
surely not.
So, take your cup,
name your... Oh, we just said your... surely. That's apparently a thing we do.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I do it all the time. Okay. I'm definitely the problem. But, so, you drink your glass of milk with dinner, and then afterwards you clean it, and then if you're going to have a glass of wine, you then have wine out of the same cup.
Out of the milk glass.
Out of the milk glass. It sounds really bad when you describe it like that. Milk and wine. But...
What a terrible combination.
Terrible!
Is that a mixed drink somewhere? Is that called something? I'm going to look it up.
Milk and wine.
Milk and wine sounds like a book from someone who went on a really weird spiritual journey.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And now they own, like, somewhere in, like, a fancy part of town, they own a milk and wine bar where you can come and get different kinds of really high-end, like, milks or wine.
Oh, apparently this is real. This would not work at all if you tried to mix them together.
What happens?
It says, what could happen if you drink wine together with milk is that it will curdle. If you mix wine and milk in a glass, it will form curdles then and there. The worst cocktail ever.
The worst cocktail. It's like, you wanted the drink? Sorry, it is now a solid. This is what we have plates for. Anyway, clean your single cup afterwards, and then, have I mentioned naming it yet? It needs to be named.
You gotta name it.
Mine's named Fred.
You have to form an emotional bond with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that, like, I really do feel like that's part of the entire...
I think naming it is maybe one of the most important parts of it.
Possibly.
Because, I will akin this to my Pokemon Nuzlocke challenges.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so if you're unfamiliar with the Pokemon Nuzlocke challenge, it is basically a way to play Pokemon with self-enforced rules that turn a normal game of Pokemon into hard mode.
Yeah.
So the way it works is the only Pokemon you're allowed to use, you can only catch the first thing you encounter in a new route or town.
Yep.
The very first thing you run into. And then if something faints, it's considered dead and you have to release it.
Oh, no.
So there's a limited available number of things for you to catch based on the number of towns and route you go to. And the final rule, though, is that you have to nickname all of your Pokemon.
Oh,
and
that's a rule. That's not something.
That's
okay.
Like a rule. Right. So that one seems like that. Well, that does that even matter? And it's like, that part is crucial. Like, not only must you abide by the parts that actually make the game more hard, but the other half of it is, by nicknaming it, it forces this, like, emotional attachment to something because it now can die.
Right.
Yes, which is not true of most Pokemon games where you can just go to the Pokemon Center and
revive them.
Oh. Yeah.
How insignificant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So, I completely see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And similarly, if your cup dies, you don't get a new cup.
You don't get a new cup. That's right. You're without cup for the rest of the year. So that's part of the challenge.
That's probably start using your hand as a bowl.
So I'm just going to get a text from you and go, Jay, I got bad news. Fred is dead. Fred is dead. Is Fred going to be a red cup?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Nope. I guess it could be. I'm really thinking that, because that's the other thing, is you have to choose a cup that is, like, reasonably fitting for as many applications as you use a variety of cups for.
Yeah, so that's what I'm curious to ask. I'm curious to know how deep into the process you've gotten considering the cup type, because you think certainly it needs to be one that is easily cleaned.
Yes.
And that can handle a wide variety of temperatures and probably that fits in cup holders.
That's essential.
I think just off the top of my head, it feels like you need like an optional lid.
I think an optional lid is critical. Yeah.
I think, do you go handle? No handle?
No handle.
No handle?
I think no handle.
No handle. Yeah. Microwave safe, probably.
Well, that's a tricky one. That's a tricky one and very fair point. Yeah. So, okay, I would say that's the first thing you've thought of so far that hasn't fit my choice of cup so far, which I believe, if I'm correct, is like a 16-ounce, like, Yeti, as I knock my drink over,
yeah,
a 16-ounce Yeti, like, tumbler.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on a second. Let me see if I can figure out exactly what it's called. It's probably got some type of fun name. The Rambler.
The maybe. Rambler.
The Rambler. 20 ounces.
Ramblin'
has,
Fred.
Has a lid. Can be customizable. Can come in red.
It just looks like a travel coffee mug.
It looks like a travel coffee mug.
Yeah.
But I think functionally, with the exception of being able to be microwaved, it has the ability to keep things temperature appropriate.
True.
Longer.
You might not need the microwave if it can maintain temperature inside the cup on its own.
Right. Like, worst case scenario, you get more coffee.
That's right. You just put more coffee right in there.
Right. And you're fine.
You know what I found to be the case is you can, leave this out in the car and like out in the sun, it'll just heat things right back up anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
You want some hot wine? You just leave it right out in the sun.
Just, you set it right outside. It's fine.
Yeah. Some curdled wine milk.
Let me whip you up some.
You don't even need the sun that.
We'll smear it on some toast.
That sounds so bad.
It does.
Can you imagine like serving that to people? They'd be like, what do you got on here? It tastes like, I don't, what is it?
It tastes like, I don't like it.
Oh my gosh. I so want one of the little curdles to try and prank somebody. Smear some wine milk curdles. Some wordles.
A wordle?
A wordle. Like a wine curdle.
No, not lost on me at all.
A wordle. On like a piece of toast for a sibling or something. It'd be like, hey, I made you some breakfast.
Right.
Some brekkie.
It's kind of like butter on toast and you put like jam or jelly on top of it, you know, which is more of a thing. It's like that, only terrible.
Well, maybe. We don't know.
For all we know, it's amazing.
For all we know, it's amazing.
And
Wilk.
Wilk, goodness gracious. Could you imagine if we just came up with the next, like, craze?
Oh my gosh, if people are, like, wilking all over the place?
Yes!
Yes.
Precisely. It's like, people are like, it's kind of buttery, it's kind of like milk, but it's also got that, like, you know, oaky flavor to it.
Yeah.
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 It tastes like I'm eating dinner at the same time as breakfast. You're like,
Pairs so nicely with pancakes for breakfast. For dinner. Pancakes for dinner.
It sounds so gross. But think of the opportunities. You could try so many different kinds of wine.
You could.
I'm only imagining red wine, but I suppose you could go white wine.
Oh, that
white
does...
wine to white milk, though? That doesn't sound...
It doesn't
seem as good.
Let's assume that that's not even a plausible option,
right.
And the two will literally not join.
It'll be like... They'll just be like parting apart from each other inside your cup.
Inside of your cup.
Like, wow, this has never been done before.
This is weird. I can't believe nobody's ever thought to. Actually, I can.
Because this is the result.
Wow. Man, wouldn't that be crazy if just like two common household liquids that you could have right now had the ability to literally part from one another?
Wow.
And not in the same way as like water and oil. More, I'm imagining like the Red Sea being parted.
Right, like you pour them in a cup, they are like repelling away from each other like magnets.
Magnets.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
The polarization is real.
So as it were, I think I own a Rambler.
You do.
Already.
Me too.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I feel like I'm already well underway.
Wait. So now am I to understand you, would you get a new Rambler?
Well, I feel like for the commitment, like I would want to start like brand spanking new.
Right.
I do own one of these cups already is what I'm trying to say. But it'll go in the trash heap like everything else.
Exactly.
And by trash heap, of course, I mean bonfire.
Exactly. Where all the old utensils that you are divorcing from your life permanently goes.
Exactly.
Popcorn culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting, you know? To me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
But yeah. So, yeah, no, I think that that's, I would start with a new cup, and it would sort of be like, boom, I've got my cup. That's it. And from now on, it'll be full.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the type of thing that people would learn about you unexpectedly quickly. And it would be like you go over to like, you know, like Alice's dad's house for like a dinner or something. And they'd be like, no, I'm kind of used to this by now. He's got his own cup. It's a thing.
He only drinks from his own cup. He's well known for it.
It's named Fred.
Do you think, okay, so there's this amazing event that happens in Roanoke every year called Go Fest.
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it. It's a good one. Hopefully it happens this year. Who knows?
I'm not optimistic,
but it is an outdoor festival, which helps.
It helps.
But it's also a large gathering of people, which doesn't help.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But it'll be in November, which feels far away. But I keep saying that, like, when they first announced, they're like, everyone's closed until June 10th. I was like, June? It's April.
Right, yeah.
This will be way cleared up by, oh God, it's July.
No!
Yeah, so not mega optimistic about the GoFest prospect. But anyway, one of my tricks for GoFest is that there's lots of beer tents.
Yeah.
There. So you always get like there's always like a signature cup too.
Right. Yeah.
So always get the new cup.
You do always.
Yeah. You know, you got to support. The event is free. So, you know, you want to support a little.
Right.
But I always, that we have got these little like rubber, they look like a rubber bracelet, kind of like a Livestrong band used to look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it's got a second loop on it.
For like hooking this thing.
For like, yeah. So the idea is like you got like a carabiner or a little S-beaner that you put on your belt loop, and then the rubber bracelet goes around the cup, and it's like a cup. Cup holder is the wrong word, but I guess that's what it's doing.
But in a way,
it's the right word. So do you think you would, like, would you adapt some, like, cup accessories?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny. I didn't even think about GoFest as like the place where this like idea had spawned from. But in my head, I had imagined that there was the ability to go hands-free with Fred.
Yeah.
So that like I could.
Oh, that's true. Because if you're only using the one cup and you're bringing Fred everywhere, now he's in your hand all the time.
Ooh,
that's a.
It's a possible thinker.
Right.
And it could be part of the challenge, but it may not be that hard to tackle. Just depending.
Right.
You know. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that'll be one of the biggest challenges, though.
Yeah, like you always have to have something in your hand now.
Right. But now, I like having a prop. This is a weird thing. Like, if you have difficulty in social situations, like talking to people, one, always compliment their shoes. Great way to get a conversation started. Going. People put so much of their personality into their shoes and you don't even realize it. So it's a great way to just be like, hey, great shoes. And then all of a sudden it's like, thank you. Let me tell you where I got them and why they're important to me. And then you're talking. But if you're having trouble saying and complimenting their shoes, because, you know, you got to break the ice somehow, hold something. I have no idea why this makes such a difference for me. But like, literally, like, I have like specifically made it a purpose or like not like set down a drink at social like events and stuff, even if it's empty, specifically because it's easier for me to talk while I have.
And gives your hand something to do.
But on top of that, it also can give your mouth something to do, because if there's like a slight lull in the conversation and you have a beverage on the handy, you know what? Take a sip.
You just take a quick sip.
And that whole time, frantically work. You know, your brain, you need to be going a million miles a second thinking of something really good to say and clever. Oh.
This, Ben, I'm fully aware of this, the whole, like, take a sip to bridge the lull, if you will. But my problem is that I will drain my glass so quick.
Oh, you know, so
like,
true.
You're like, now it's like, I will, like, oh, man, I took a lot of lulls.
Okay.
Which maybe it's a good extra strategy. Like, if you've had that many lulls, it's like, you need to get out of this conversation.
Oh, good point, good point. Like,
and now you have a great excuse, you need a new drink.
Right, use it as a metric. It's like, you know, man, I finished my drink way too quickly. You know what that means? We're not having engaging conversations.
This isn't it.
And then you can feel confident in your decision to walk away.
That's what you need, because you don't, that's what you need. You need the validation that this conversation was boring, and the finishing of your drink, you're like, okay. That's a physical signal to me in the real world that it was okay to move on. I don't need to feel guilty about wanting to talk to someone else.
Nope, precisely. And that's what you need. Yeah, I think you need to know. I think having confidence is usually based on whether or not you are aware that the social action is acceptable.
Mm.
Because that's probably what it comes down to. It's like, is it okay for me to just walk away? Like, will they think it's weird? Probably not, quite frankly. That's one thing. I feel like whenever I host parties, people like constantly, I'd be like in the middle of like a very intense, you know, discussion about the latest Kubota tractor that I was scoping out, you know, with Trey and the guy who I dug the pond with by hand. And someone will come up to me like, hey, Ben, can I ask you about these bourbon bottles over here? And I'll be like, Trey, hold that thought. And then I'll walk away. And then, sorry, Trey, I usually don't get back to that conversation, unfortunately.
Right.
But that's okay. And hey, I don't think Trey holds
the nature
me.
Of the party to be in sort of a floating conversation with everyone in the room.
Yes. So speaking of using a cup prop / bourbon, because I just happened to touch on that, there was this one occasion where I made just such a significant whoopsies doing this precise thing.
Yeah.
And many people may know, if you know me from the interwebs, that I was obsessed with ice, like specifically clear ice for a while. But
was.
Well, you never really stop being obsessed with ice. Like, once you start... Right.
You know, I figured it out, you know.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, mastery does help. It does give some acceptance.
Right. Do you think... Would you call yourself a master at this point?
Well, no. I really wouldn't.
No.
I think really what happened was I figured out how to make clear ice consistently, but still not in the manner that I would like. What I would actually really love is to have a bandsaw that is specifically made for ice so that I could make larger quantities of the ice that I now know how to make clear,
right?
Cut it down into individual cubes, and then I actually would store them in like a very specific way, like in a chest freezer in their own individual like holding containers waiting to go into it.
Sounds like you have more plans for your ice capades.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I've got more plans.
Yeah,
but I don't know where to get a bandsaw that is specifically made for ice. I've looked high and low.
But you know they exist.
I know they exist. I do know they're out there, but I can't tell how specialty they are.
Is it, people aren't just using regular ones?
No, because most bandsaws would not be able to accommodate the amount of moisture that would come from this particular situation. So it does need to be a rather particular kind of blade. Although when I cut corals, when you frag a coral up, which is to say you have a coral colony and then make it into smaller pieces that can then grow on their own and you can sell them on the interweb, I do use a wet band bandsaw for that, which is basically a bandsaw designed for tile work, which could work for this.
It seems to me like worst case scenario, you fail to cut a piece of ice.
Worst case scenario, I fail to cut a piece of ice.
Yeah.
That's not the worst case scenario.
It doesn't seem like the ice could possibly do enough damage to the saw, right?
Probably not.
Right? I don't know. Well, I don't know about bandsaws.
It's hard to say. I also don't know. Like, people use chainsaws on ice all the time, and that might just be acceptable. Like, it might just work. I don't know if they're using specialty ice carving chainsaws or if you just got a regular old steel,
right,
which is what I have.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look into it more.
Okay.
Yeah, because that could be the answer there. But early on in this process, I was probably 23 or 24, and it was right when I started doing like the aquarium work down at Center in the Square, which is like a local museum in our town where I have this like 8,000 gallon reef display. And I was at like the Christmas party with a lot of the like board members that are like sort of involved with keeping that building running and funded and all that type of stuff. So like I was working for myself and it was my company and I had a contract, but these people I would say were as close as possible to my boss in that they were the people who could affect change on my life most directly.
Right, like you own your business, but this is your biggest client whom without the business could not survive.
Well, not in a manner that I would appreciate.
Right,
yes,
okay.
It would have changed my lifestyle rather significantly. So anyway, I'm at the party and I just gotten really into drinking like specific kinds of bourbon, not like, you know, in college where it was like Jim Beam or something like that, but like nice stuff, like where I was specifically researching it and tracking it down and trying to find the cool ones. And I was kind of having my whole ice capade where I'm like trying to make really cool ice. So I go to this Christmas party and I'm like really nervous because the people there are important people as to my career.
Yeah.
And I've never spent any time with them in a social setting. And so I'm like, oh, this will be really cool. I'll bring a bunch of my cool bourbons and I will like show people them and sort of like talk about like what's cool about the individual things. And like I can show my ice because it seems like people tend to find it interesting that like I've applied this much
effort into ice
when most people probably
people are like water freezer done.
Right. Yeah. No big chumps. But so I get there and I had brought like literally like a little like lunch box like you would have had in high school full of these ice cubes that I've been making all week so that I could like share them with people.
At the party. Interesting.
So it was BYOI, brought my own ice. But when it really came down to it, it was a party that like I knew that I needed to go and sort of like quote unquote glad hand at, I guess maybe is the best way to describe it. But I knew I wasn't going to have to be there for a terribly long time because I'm not like an actual member of this organization.
Right.
So I get there and I start talking to people and I handed out a bunch of ice cubes, which meant that I was just drinking bourbon from my cup.
Yeah.
And like at this point in time, like I said, I am like approaching bourbon from an appreciation standpoint, not a like, you know, intoxication standpoint.
Yeah.
Although the problem was by using it as a prop and my nerves in this particular scenario and the fact that it was straight bourbon meant that I like just way accidentally overconsumed.
Oh boy.
Like in the most like, I feel like embarrassing way imaginable. Like, you know, it was.
You like puked in the middle of the room?
No, it wasn't that embarrassing.
Okay.
But it was, I mean, this was as you draw nearer to like the Christmas period of time, your Christmas party could be on like a Thursday night or something. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like Saturday night even.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm there for 1 hour during which time I probably have like, you know, 2 cups.
Oh gosh.
Of bourbon.
Of the burbs.
So I get home and it my girlfriend at the time drove me home. But I got home and it hadn't even hit me yet. So it was like that was like how fast it happened. Yeah. So I was completely fine at the party. No big deal. But my normally sound approach to having social interactions at parties turned on me so hard.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was painful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, that's it. So the moral of the story is props are handy, but please prop responsibly.
Please prop responsibly.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. If you're going to bring your own ice, you got to know the dangers.
You got to.
Got to.
Oh, people did think it was cool though.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
It was a good.
Oh, I think it was a good showing. I think it was a good showing. Yeah. I was very nervous, but like I definitely had like, you know, it was almost like I was like a paid performer, which I was fine with.
Have you seen that guy in the corner? He's got like, clear ice.
Have you seen this guy over here? Like he's talking about bourbons and ice. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so, and actually I had some, like some Death Star mold. So a few of my ice cubes were in the shape of the Death Star, which, you know, I was kind of like, that's cool, right? right?
That's pretty cool. Everyone likes the Death Star.
Totally.
Well, not everyone.
Most people don't like the Death Star.
Alderaan, really not fans.
Not a fan. No. Not a fan. So anyway, that's my tale.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Clear ice. So speaking of bourbon, where they make bourbon is in Kentucky.
Okay.
Right? Kentucky, also horse country.
Horse country!
Yeah!
Wow! Look at that segue!
Segue!
Man.
Oh, man. So, I guess a lot of people messaged us about horse ownership.
Oh, a lot of people messaged us. A lot. Okay, I would say about 70% of the emails were people who were so excited to hear that we were just talking about horses at all, that it's a huge passion for them. And tons of people had so much interesting information about it. So it was kind of like, wow, I just got like a complete crash course on horses.
Who knew?
Who knew? The other massive chunk of people, and I would even say the overlapping Venn diagram would include some of the other 70%, were people really, really, really wanting to assure me in the process in which you can walk behind a horse. Because
were you trolled about being kicked in the face by a horse?
I don't even think I was trolled, because I don't even think that at the age in which I was told that a fellow classmate who's like had like a birthmark was the effect of being kicked by a horse.
Right.
Like, I don't think somebody was able to like piece all of that together.
Okay.
I think it was just their own mental creation, and they told me, and they were lying.
But now, okay, yeah, because, or maybe not lying, they just didn't know that what they believed was not true.
Or that.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but now you know the appropriate way to approach a horse's backside?
Well...
Or do you?
I would still probably want a coach, if I'm being honest with you, but it sounds like...
Okay.
It sounds like the process is running your hand down the side of the horse and patting them as you go or talking to them, so they are actively aware of the process of you working your way around their body.
Yeah.
So that they know you're there.
Okay.
And that they're not being caught unawares.
Right. I guess that's the dangerous thing, is you don't want to spook them.
You don't want to spook
them. You don't want to spook a horse while you're standing behind them.
Not even one bit.
No, man. Well, my desire to be more involved with horses grows.
Oh, okay. The way that you were approaching that, I was like, oh no, this sounds dire.
No,
Beth does listen to the pop.
Oh,
so
she knows.
I was like, is this about to be shot down?
Oh,
like,
no.
We're not owning a horse.
Okay. So here's my, I haven't discussed this with my wife or anything yet. So maybe she'll find out by listening. Hey, babe. My current ponderings to just have like a horse experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there is this hiking trail you can do in Virginia. I think I mentioned it on the pop, perhaps. It is called Mount Rogers.
Oh, yes, you did.
Which, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Highest point in Virginia.
Highest point in Virginia. And on the trail, there's like wild ponies.
There sure are.
It's really awesome. So my current, one of the things I want to do, I want to get one of those like toddler hiking backpacks.
For sure.
Yeah, right. And then just to have me and Luke go out on some adventure, go do a hike, see some ponies.
Touch a horse.
Exactly.
Wow.
So this is my working plan. We'll see when it works out, if it works out.
Oh, that'll work out.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the backpack's like expensive, and it's also like this past few weeks, bazillion degrees outdoors.
Hey, do you need help rationalizing?
Yeah, go for it.
This is what I do, man. This is what I do.
Yeah.
I'm so good at figuring out ways for it to be okay.
Yeah.
Think about how much less the carrier is than buying an actual horse.
Oh, yeah.
Or the land. I mean, we're talking fraction of the cost here.
Yes, that's true.
And carrier, applicable in other ways.
That's right. We can get more hiking trips out of it.
Right. Precisely.
Exactly.
And two more twins on the way, which means you've got plenty of runway left for kids are age appropriate for the carrier.
Yes.
Man, I feel like it's a done deal, and I'm surprised you haven't bought it now on Amazon.
Bought it now.
I said bide it now.
I haven't done a word. Bought it.
Bought it now.
Bought it now. No, but so there we go. That's my plan.
Okay.
For horses. So it was so funny though. The reason we were talking about bourbon being made in Kentucky. So my brother-in-law, I was like, wait a minute, let me do the math. Yeah. My brother-in-law lives in Kentucky, and we went to visit him a couple, maybe last year. And it was one of the things I was so excited to be going, because it was going to be like, we were going to go to all these like bourbon distilleries.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, this is going to be this is going to be like the highlight of this trip. But like going in, it was like, had no idea that we'd be driving just right through horse country.
Oh,
like right through horse country.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like one of the things like, oh my gosh, this just seems awesome. And it was like, so it like, it's like one of those things you're like sort of interested in, and then without being aware of it at all, you're suddenly like thrown right into the middle of like the main place.
Yeah, like a yeah. prominent location for it. Like people yeah. might go there for that reason.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There are horses everywhere.
In okay.
Like, yeah. So that was like one of those like, oh, I don't know, that was just a cool, have you had an experience, I don't know.
Where I've like found myself in a remarkable location without realizing that's where I was intending to go.
Right.
Or like I was there for a different reason.
You were there for a different reason. We're like, wait a minute. No way.
This is truly spectacular.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, that's like, it's such a specific thing with you. And I think the more...
I feel like I'm talking up a lot. I'm always thinking about horses, which I'm not. It's sort of becoming a bigger thing now that we're talking about it on the pop.
Right. Yeah. No, I get you. Yeah. I'm glad to fan that flame though. I feel like sure. It's exciting to see you be excited about something, because the way that you tend to go about things is very like completely. And yeah. I feel like you do have like that runway. Like you're thinking of dipping your toe in the water to experiencing more horse life
yeah.
is to go on a hike to where there are wild horses so that you and Luke can physically see them
yeah.
together. Whereas my version of it
yeah.
would be like, I bought a farm.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just dipping my toe in. I'm trying it out.
Whatever.
If it doesn't fit.
Then I still own a farm and a bunch of livestock that I have to take care of forever. But, you know, whatever.
Right. Actually, so on that note, recently we did a video on Draco Malfoy's Patronus.
Yeah, peacocks.
And it has made me very much want to own a peacock.
Dude, that was my exact takeaway from that video, too. Because it's like, when you read about the peacocks in Harry Potter, it makes it like the Malfoys own them and they're strutting about the property and you're like, man, peacocks must cost a lot of money.
They must.
But apparently peafowl are not really like some super lavish, expensive animal.
Not as lavish as they would make you think.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact that he had some that were pure white probably does up that price tag a smidge. Although the unfortunate thing is I looked up pure white peacocks and they are so cool.
Oh no.
Yeah. So
there's no like just going right for the blue or something.
I would go right for the blue.
Okay,
I would call that dipping my toe in. The real problem is I really don't think the residents of my block would be super pleased with it. So realistically, I need a farm.
Why would they not be pleased with it?
Well, I don't know if there's a great place to keep a peacock on a corner lot with no backyard.
Well, I mean, I think you need the fence, first of all.
First and foremost.
Definitely you need a fence.
Do you get a peacock house for it to live in?
I think you'd probably need like a coop or something.
Coop? Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
My no knowledge guesses on how to care for peafowl are that it's very similar to a rooster, just also fancy tail.
Okay, but the fanciest of tails.
That's the fun part. That's why you wanted it all.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's probably on my old bucket list at some point is to own a peacock.
Okay.
And then probably give it a completely non-fitting name for its sheer beauty.
Like George?
I was thinking Gerald!
Oh!
Wow!
Thinking you'd have your cup Fred and your peacock George.
That is so much better than what I was thinking. Man.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give that a thought.
Okay.
Anyway, we just had younger brother Tyler arrive here in the office in order to record a Jay versus Ben. So I feel like that is our cue to close out week.
Yes, I think so.
But what we really need from you guys is just all of the feedback, because it's going to have been 2 weeks. Since we last recorded, by the time we next record.
Yes.
And we need tons of information.
We need to know, have you abandoned all of your silverware in favor of chopsticks? Have you abandoned all of your cups in favor of One cup life.
And what did you name your one cup?
Yeah. How's it going?
How is it going?
Yeah. The part of the one cup life, I'm sorry, I'm about the tangent again as we're trying to wrap up.
That's okay.
It seems like you won't have any more coffee mug.
Well, it is a coffee mug though.
It is a coffee mug, but like so much of the joy of, or part of the joy of drinking my morning coffee is selecting my mug.
Well, I do agree with that. And there is something really joyous about having a quality mug.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So now
I also like having a clean mug, which Fred would always be clean because I'll always need it.
You'll always need it. So it occurs to me as well that perhaps you might not receive the benefits of one cup life being that you don't have all of the other cups to maintain unless your wife also commits to one cup life.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So
I'm gonna have to get her.
Is Alice on board?
I don't know. And maybe it's the type of thing where it'll be contagious, you know? It'll be like, yeah, man, like watching this, like watching One Cup Life. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like Ben's relationship with Fred all of a sudden is like, I want that, you know? I mean, I'm trying to be aspirational here, you know? Yeah. It's like you want someone to tune in and be like, I need that, you know? Like,
yeah.
Not need it. That feels too much promote-y. This is more like recognizing the betterment that could come from your relationship with a cup.
Okay. Well then, I'm so excited to see when One Cup Life begins for you.
I know. I'll have to tell you all about it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I do need to give a special happy birthday this week from one of our patrons, Jess, who wants to wish a happy birthday to Ernie. This is actually a particularly fun happy birthday wish because originally Ernie came on as a patron and asked if we would wish Jess a happy birthday.
Oh, returning the favor.
Now we have returned the favor. Actually, not even quite yet. I believe this episode will come out on July 31st and his birthday is on August 4th. So,
it's a little early.
It's a little bit early, but we won't have another episode before August 4th. So, everybody be sure to think happy birthday thoughts towards Ernie.
Yeah.
And in addition, we want to give a special thank you to these other patrons as well. Tommy King, Zach Beaven, Jenny, Alexander Dugan, Mallory Wood, King of Bibs, Jaden Neeston, Chad Leek, David Sherrier, and Grayson Lounsbury. I'm pretty sure we gave a shout out to Lounsbury last week.
Oh, was it the same Lounsbury?
It could have been. It was, in fact, the same Lounsbury, which hopefully we'll probably have feedback from old Lounsbury, but they'll be like, you keep getting my name wrong 2 weeks in a row. Could be Lounsbury. Who knows?
Lounsbury.
Sometimes I do this, though, and I will say someone's name in a variety of different ways.
Yeah.
And they will email us and they'll be like, you totally nailed it. And I'm like, which time?
But which time?
Which time? I can't even promise I could do it again. I'm glad I got it right for you because that means a lot, you know. But if you guys would like to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/popcornculture. We have three different tiers. They're all the same level and they're basically just casting a vote for who's going to be your host that week.
Right.
You can vote for host Buzzy B, host Jazzy J, or host no host.
Host no host.
Host no host, which is literally just 15 seconds of silence.
Yeah. Yeah, no one wants that.
No one wants that.
That's right. What the people want is the jazziest of jays. And if you would like to be part of the people, all you gotta do is just go to Patreon and sign up.
Guys, I will paint the trophy gold.
That doesn't make it any more yours.
Vote Team Buzzy B. Until next week.
Pop, pop.